Hi everyone, welcome to Real Recovery, or welcome back. This is a podcast where I talk about my own experience with anorexia and recovery, and I give practical tips and advice to help you if you're going through something similar. Please don't treat this podcast as medical advice. I'm not a medical professional, and I always recommend you go and seek help if you're struggling with an eating disorder. So for today's episode, I'm going to be talking about low mood. I just want to preface this by a bit of a disclaimer and I guess a trigger warning to people who might be struggling with depression or major depressive disorder. So this episode is not going to discuss depression in the sense of the disorder. I'm not qualified on that. I've never struggled when diagnosed with depression. However, I do think that this episode might just have some helpful tips that may, I don't know, that you may want to try if you are diagnosed with depression. I'm not going to say that anything I say in this episode will help or cure or do anything like that. I just want to set it up with that, because obviously I feel like with eating disorders and anorexia, I have much more ground to stand on. Whereas this, I'm more going to be talking about general sense of low mood rather than depression, the disorder. So I hope that makes sense. So I'm making this episode because I got asked by a follower the other day over on my Instagram how to combat low mood in recovery. So their question was how to cope with feeling low in mood during recovery. And to be honest, I don't think this topic is talked about enough. To me, low mood is quite different from anxiety, which is what I usually struggle with the most. And it's not always related to specific irrational eating disorder thoughts either. So personally, I actually struggle with identifying emotions. I know that a lot of people get quite frustrated when they're told, oh, you're dealing with low mood, because it feels like their feelings are being a bit invalidated by that, especially if they do genuinely struggle with depression or something. But I think for me, it was actually kind of helpful when, for example, CAMS or therapists pointed out that it was low mood, because it helped me differentiate between anxious feelings. So for me, I don't know if anyone else notices their feelings in this way, but I feel like I get high energy negative emotions and low energy negative emotions. So obviously the high energy ones being more anxiety, and I suppose related more to my OCD as well. Whereas low energy negative mood would be what I'm talking about in this episode. I guess having problems with your mood is quite common, and it really does suck, and it does make day-to-day living very difficult. And obviously for some people, for a lot of people actually, it can spiral into a full-blown depression, which in and of itself is a really deadly illness. So alongside an eating disorder, it's not great. So yeah, I'm really happy to be having this conversation about mood, and I think I might have some helpful tips. I don't usually talk much about my own experience, not in great detail anyway, but I will at the beginning of this episode, just because I think it might help, and I think it might give you some perspective on where I'm coming from. Because I know that, honestly, it seems like a lot of people with anorexia often struggle with depression alongside it. And as I've said before, I never have, so I don't know, I think I might have somewhat of a unique perspective, although obviously not completely unique, I do know that. Anyway, so yeah, I've never been diagnosed with, never suffered with depression, I usually experience anxiety instead. However, two of my best friends and a very close family member have struggled for many years with depression and, trigger warning, suicide attempts, so it is quite clear to me how difficult this illness is to deal with. For sufferers. So yeah, and I also know that depression is very often linked to anorexia. I'm not saying that recovery will cure your depression, however there is an undeniable link between the physical and mental health, and I'll go into that into more detail later on. So throughout my life I've dealt with very low points in my mood, but they've usually gone quite quickly, and I do have some tips on how I've managed this. So obviously this happened more during my eating disorder than before, but surprisingly, actually even more during recovery, because, I don't know, I think it's kind of understandable. You have to give up your coping mechanism in recovery, and you have to do very, scary, uncomfortable things each day, especially at the beginning when you're not used to doing it. So it obviously can take a toll on people's mood, and it definitely did to me. I remember feeling like really awful and just hopeless at some points. And to be honest, again, especially in the beginning, it was usually about weight gain and body image. That would be the things that took the biggest hit on my mood. But also, I definitely got a sense of hopelessness that I wouldn't ever stop feeling this awful and uncomfortable in my body. And I wouldn't ever, I don't know, stop feeling so terrified and just out of control around food. And also, I think this is kind of worth mentioning, I was also really isolated when I was unwell, because I was put on bed rest for a point in time. And also, I was at, this was when COVID was like a way bigger thing, so I was at increased risk from COVID, so I wasn't actually allowed really any contact with anyone. I wasn't in the same house with my siblings, and I wasn't really allowed to see my friends either, so it was kind of miserable. And also, yeah, like the physical pain of refeeding. And then, yeah, just throughout recovery, just, I guess, even still now, I get quite low dips in my mood. But I think that for me, at least what I experience it, I think I do experience it on just a normal human level. Perhaps, obviously, anorexia and having anxiety and other conditions, they might make those dips a bit lower. But I don't know, I don't think my experience is anything out of the ordinary in that sense. But obviously, for so many people, especially people fighting anorexia as well, it can get too much and your mood can literally just like plummet and can be very, very difficult to pick yourself back up. So yeah. And I think when I said I have a unique perspective on this, I don't know if it sounds like really weird. I feel like I'm acting really weird, but what, like in my mind at least, I feel like it is slightly unique in the fact that I've been very surrounded by very like clinically depressed people. But I don't know, I've never struggled with depression and I don't really know why. I guess a lot of it's genetic, but I don't know. It's just interesting to me, like as an observer on my own life, I just think, that's interesting. Anyway, I think when I was younger, especially when my, I don't want to like go into this, but one of my really, really close friends was extremely, again, trigger warning, suicidal. But at that time, as I was so young, I'm not really sure. I was almost proud of the fact that I wasn't letting it get to me and I didn't become depressed alongside her. Because you know when you're so close to someone, you sort of pick up on their emotions. And I remember people around me being quite concerned and thinking, oh God, this is not going to end well. But I was kind of proud of the fact that I'd managed to take really good care of my mental health during that time and not let my friends' struggle with depression impact me. I don't know if it's right to be proud of that. I don't really think I was doing anything to be proud of. I think it just, that's just how life worked out at the time. But I really felt it was very important for me that I wasn't feeling depressed so that I was able to be stable and like happy and provide like support for her. And it actually worked out quite well at that time. And I think watching someone struggle and having to take good care of myself helped me develop some quite good ways of keeping my mood stable and even, and not allowing dips, you know, like natural dips, you know, the human experience in my mood to escalate further. And I think it's just life. Some people are naturally more able to manage their mood, but they may struggle more in other areas, like me with my anxiety. Anyway, that's just a bit about my experience. I'm gonna like throw a bunch of tips at you that I've picked up along the years, and especially the ones that I've found out about during recovery, which have really, really helped me with these like mood dips. They've helped me come out of the low points a lot quicker than if I had been doing these things. So I'm just gonna like tell you a load of things, and I'm not gonna say that everything will help you. I mean, again, I just want to like keep putting it out there, I'm not trying to invalidate people with genuine depression, like bipolar, anything like that. But even so, if you do feel like one of these tips resonates with you, then I'm really, really glad. And I hope that people just try out a few things. And I hope that it does help you. If you're struggling with your mood right now, just listen up and see what sticks. I'm going to have to like start with the most obvious one, because this audience is mainly people with anorexia and other eating disorders. This tip will also obviously apply to you guys as well. Basically, it's that your physical health will really impact your mental health. And I'm not saying, again, that if you get healthy physically, that your depression will be cured or your mood will just be perfect. But if you are experiencing major dips in your mood and you're finding it very difficult to balance your mood and just become like a bit happier in general, and maybe a bit more like energetic. I don't know, but your physical health is basically harming you if you have an eating disorder. If you are avoiding fats or restricting fats in your diet, then you're not getting enough nutrients to make neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine, and obviously these play a huge role in your mood. Like, neurotransmitters and like brain chemicals in general are often like mostly made out of fats and proteins and stuff, so if you're not physically getting those foods in your diet, then you can't be too surprised when you're finding you literally have no serotonin. I don't know, I just think that's kind of important to mention, and I think people might overlook it and try and psychoanalyze their lifestyle and everything, but it might just be that you have some like severe vitamin deficiencies. I know that, again, this is just anecdotal, but to be fair, this does actually have a lot of research backing it up. Like vitamin B deficiencies, I think thiamine or something, I don't know. But if you're deficient in vitamin B and all of those things, then yeah, I think that really does take a toll on your mood and like your brain function in general, like your ability to concentrate and stuff. So make sure you're getting enough vitamins, get a vitamin supplement, like a vitamin pill. In fact, get blood tests done, and then you'll be able to know which vitamins and minerals that you're deficient in, and you can just supplement them. Obviously, try and get them in your diet first, but taking vitamin supplements might genuinely help your mood. So if you're not doing that already, give it a go. Again, make sure you have enough fats in your diet, because fats play a really key role in brain health. And then I guess there's sunlight exposure. If you're not getting enough sunlight, then I don't know. I just think that's one of those like easier ones. Just tick it off, get some like 10 minutes of sunlight every day. Just go to stand by a window, you know, don't take that as an excuse to go and like go on a 3-hour walk. You don't exercise to get sunlight. You just need to literally expose your skin to sunlight if you can. I mean, I live in the UK, but to be fair, we've had a few sunny days recently. So don't make excuses, get some sunlight. Also sleep, obviously it's a big one. Got to be getting those like 8 hours sleep. I'm not even kidding, I literally get like 10 hours sleep. I'm like a toddler, I need so much sleep to function. But you know, make sure you're getting enough sleep. And then I guess the last thing, which you're really not going to want to hear, but if you are underweight, you cannot be surprised if your mood is terrible, because that's literally a side effect of being underweight. So weight restore if you need to. And also, I suppose, if you're restricting your food and you're just not getting enough food in the day, regardless of what your weight is right now, again, you cannot be surprised or confused as to why you're not having a stable mood. So yeah, that's kind of, those are like the most basic fundamentals. So I'm going to stop talking about physical health now, because I feel like people know that, they just don't want to implement it. I know I didn't. I would like, when I was struggling with my anxiety even more and I was underweight, I would be like, oh, I'm going to like research all these things of how to cure anxiety, blah, blah, blah. But like, I would ignore every single thing that said you need to weight restore, because I didn't want to hear it. Or rather, my anorexia didn't want to hear it. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing, which is like tidy your room. I don't know. Like, I know that, again, for people with like depression, this can be, it's not just like a simple thing to do, but it certainly is a helpful thing to do. I know that in the times that I've had genuinely kind of longer slumps in my mood, my room has always like mirrored that. And I think that one of the first steps that I always do when I like get myself out of a bit of a mental rut is to just tidy up. And now I don't want to just be like, oh, tidy your room, because I know it's not that easy. So for me, what I do, I also have ADHD. I don't know if that's like relevant to the conversation here, but I've seen other people speak about, they give these tips to people with ADHD and they work for me in regards to tidying up my room to help my mood. So I don't know where the link is there, but I feel like there might be a link. I don't know. Anyway, so yes, tidying your room. Basically what I do, this might sound weird and a bit like kind of overkill, like there might not be the need, but I don't know, it kind of makes my life easier. So I'm going to tell you. Basically, set a time lapse up, like on your windowsill or something, and like film yourself tidying your room, and it's just so, so motivating. And it's also so satisfying when you have like a really messy room and you get to watch this really quick time lapse of like you rushing about, tidying everything up, picking clothes up, and like you watch your room gradually get like really, really tidy. I don't know, but it's just so satisfying to watch just time-lapse back of you doing that to your room. So if you're struggling to find the motivation to do that, I'm not kidding, just set yourself a 5-minute timer and be like, when this timer's gone off, I'm going to put my phone up on my bookshelf, whatever, point it at my room and tidy up. And then afterwards, I'm going to like reward myself by watching this really satisfying time-lapse video. I don't know. I just recommend doing that. It's so much fun. The next thing is to create routines. I used to hate when people said this because I didn't know how to make routines work for me very well. I mean, I had routines, but anyway, it's a long story. Basically, I feel like we all have those things that we do, that like we know we need to do, that will genuinely make us feel better. But it's just that doing them is either too much effort or it's too difficult when you're stressed or whatever, that we don't do them. And then we're surprised that we still feel bad. Whereas if we just did the things, even though they might be boring or difficult or whatever, we know we'd feel better. So what I do is I write a list down and I keep it to hand and I kind of stick it on my wall or like put it in my journal, whatever. And I look at those things and I know that when I'm feeling awful, like that list of 10, 15, probably actually like 7 things, I don't know, will make me feel better if I just go through the steps. Kind of, you have to like mechanically do things to make you feel better, like mechanically tidy your room, go take a shower, brush your teeth, like do all those things. And if you can't just do them spontaneously, which I can't most of the time, and especially I can't when I'm already in that sort of like low mood place, just write it down and tick it off. And it really, really helps. Like that really simple act of just write down the steps that you need to do. You can really, really break it down. Like you can have like a 20 long to-do list of like the most basic steps. Like literally like get out of bed can be one of your tick-offs, or like pick up a top from the floor can be like a thing on your list. You know what I mean? Like make it as rewarding as possible to do the mundane things that help you. So yeah, you kind of just have to, like, you know what I mean? Like, for example, drinking water will be one of them, or like brushing your teeth, or if you know, if you like absolutely 100% know that listening to a certain song will lift your mood, but like doing it is requiring a lot of mental effort, just do it. Write it down, tick it off, and then you know you'll feel better when you do it. Like you just have to do the things that make you feel better, even though you don't want to do them. And I know it's really difficult. Sometimes it's really difficult. So, you know, I have a lot of empathy if you are struggling to do basic things right now, but you deserve to feel better after doing them. And I think if you can figure out a way of getting yourself to do these things, then write down how you did it, so that the next time you feel that way, you can look back to be like, oh, okay, you know what? I remember last time this happened, I did this, this, and this, and I actually did feel a bit better, so I'm going to do this, this, and this again. Anyway, that works for me quite well. I guess it takes practice as well. The more times you pull yourself out of a low place, the more data you have to look back on and see what worked, what didn't work. But I really do recommend the 5-minute timer thing. You know, set a timer for 5 minutes. Once that timer's gone off, you do the thing. And also the time-lapse thing, like watching yourself back is a really big motivator. At least it is for me. I guess just baby steps, you know, break it down, make these routines very simple. Like try and have a morning routine every day, but like it doesn't have to be crazy. You can literally just have, your morning routine can literally just be like, get up, get dressed and brush your teeth. But as long as you do that every day, then you feel that sense of structure, and it's something you can fall back on when you are feeling really low in mood. You know that at least you've accomplished something that day, and that can lift your mood. Which kind of leads me on to my next point, which is achievements. So when I'm feeling really low in my mood, which doesn't happen as often as I think it can do for other people, but it still happens fairly often, I sort of pick myself out of it by starting to do achievements or things that give me a sense of reward afterwards and make me feel proud of myself. This really, really goes hand in hand with recovery from anorexia, because you often will feel like a failure for literally just eating and gaining weight and doing all the things that you need to be doing. You can have this like overwhelming sense of failure and doing something wrong, and you don't have that restriction and the weight loss and all that kind of stuff to give you that high, that like success feeling, you know? So what can be really helpful is to substitute it with something else. So, and it can be so simple, because when you're in recovery, you're probably kind of tired, you're probably like drained, exhausted, stressed out in general, especially if you're at the beginning. So by this, I don't mean you have to achieve stuff every day. You don't have to do all your homework. You don't have to you don't have to run a marathon. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do a bunch of crazy stuff. Achievements are literally just setting a goal for yourself and achieving it. And the goal, the key to this, right? The goal needs to be so, so, so easy, because then you can achieve it really easily and you get that sense of reward and you don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, your goal could literally be, I don't know, drink some water. Like, after you've done that, you can like tick it off and you feel happy. You know what I mean? Set yourself a bunch of stupid goals and then do them, and then you will start getting those dopamine hits, and that will slightly raise your mood, hopefully. And it might set you on a bit of a positive spiral, you know, like you start positive reinforcement. So I don't know, that can help. And it also just helps with your general self-esteem to achieve things you set your mind to. And then as you're getting out of this low mood place and you're starting to get more energy, more motivation, you can set yourself bigger and bigger goals. But honestly, there's no pressure, there's no rush. Just start really, really, really small, and don't set expectations for yourself. You know, like, you don't have to expect yourself to do anything. Be realistic. If you're in a place where you genuinely are struggling with depression and you can't get out of bed, then make your goal really, really small. Like, make your goal, I'm going to listen to like 5 minutes of an audiobook. I don't know. Something really simple that you can do without having to move or something. You know what I mean? But then if you're in a place where you aren't struggling that much, but you are getting these like dips in your mood, and you know that pushing yourself to like read a chapter of a book or go outside for 10 minutes and sit in the sun, if you know that those kind of things will make you feel better, then set yourself a deliberate goal to do it and then achieve it. And that should help your mood over time, as they sort of accumulate. Like, throughout the day, the more things that you achieve and the more things you can either tick off physically off a list or mentally, you get loads of the dopamine hits. And for me, at least, that is really important when it comes to keeping my mood kind of stable or raising it when I'm in a really low place. My next tip is to do with social media. Again, people don't like it when I say these kind of things, and I kind of understand why, but maybe don't go on social media if you're in a really, really low place with your mood. I know that it does have its benefits. For example, it can be really entertaining, and I guess when you're in a really low place with your mood, you might be really craving some sort of distraction or entertainment. But the thing about social media is it desensitizes you, and it trains your brain to expect easy rewards and like constant it like desensitizes your dopamine receptors or something. So you're going to find it more difficult to find enjoyment and find reward and satisfaction from simple tasks and things that require more effort, but you get more long-term reward from. Whereas social media, it's all about the instant gratification, which is fine, especially, you know, in small doses or for people who are mentally sound. But I suppose if you're struggling a lot with your mood, that element of social media isn't helpful, especially not long term. And the other thing about it is it's often, there are negatives, there are drawbacks. You might see triggering pictures, or you might start comparing yourself to people, even like subconsciously. So my advice is to, if you're dealing with your mood being horrible, delete social media. Just delete the app. Like, that's what I do. I never have the app on my phone unless I'm going to use it. And then after I finish using it, I just delete the app again. And honestly, it's helped me so, so much. And I think that for people who have previously been on social media a lot and then deleted it, I don't think any of them regret it. You know, maybe I'm wrong. People prove me wrong, but that's just my opinion with that. My next thing that might help you if you're really struggling with your mood is music. Literally, you know, and that's so easy to do. Just put a song on, put your favourite song on. It's so difficult to feel as low mood as you did 5 minutes later if you're listening to your favourite song. You know, put some reggae on, put some Bob Marley on, put some The Beach Boys. You know, like, put something really upbeat, really fun, and just listen to it for a bit and see what happens. And honestly, like, dancing as well, like, just dance in your bedroom. This might seem like, oh, that's not going to work, it's too simple. But, like, honestly, and you know as well, because you would have done this before. Everyone's done this. Everyone knows they feel better after, like, listening to some good music. So that's just your reminder to do that. It's really easy. My next tip is to kind of revert back to your childhood comforts. So if there's, like, a favourite film or, like, favourite book or something you did when you were younger that just brings you back to like a really nice, like nostalgic place, then do more of it. Like deliberately do those things in your day. Like if you used to read a lot of like a certain book when you were younger, just take an hour out of your day and read that book. Or if you used to always make cookies when you were younger, just do that. Do things that bring you back to a place where you felt happy. Yeah. My next tip is to have a change of scenery. I know this is like, not everyone will be able to do this, but it can be really simple. For me, I really like struggle with changes in routine. So it is kind of difficult to do this, but I feel like it can have benefits if it's done in the right way. Some people who don't struggle with change of scene and stuff like that and don't get like overwhelmed easily, you know, go on a day trip, like go on a full on, like maybe even overnight stay somewhere if you can, like go camping, like go on a road trip, go with your friends somewhere, just go out, you know. And then I guess if you're someone who struggles a bit more with that, maybe just like go and sit in a different park, or go into town and like go window shopping. Like don't buy anything, just go on your own into a few shops for like 2 hours and then come back or something. Or go with a friend, or go to a cafe, or go to the library. Something like that, you know, like something low-key but gets you out of your bedroom or gets you out of your house. And yeah, that's just, it can be really, really helpful. It really can shift your mood. And it can just give you a bit of a reset. It like hits the reset button. I don't know. Just give it a try. The next tip is to spend some time with your friends and family. Again, I don't take my own advice with this. But then I think there are reasons, because genuinely sometimes being around people makes me feel worse. I don't know. I think that's because I genuinely do struggle way more with anxiety related things than depression and mood and stuff. But I know that for the people in my life who have really struggled with depression, friends and family, and getting out of their comfort zone almost, but like getting out of their immediate surroundings and having their brain filled with other people and other things and not their own thoughts can be so, so helpful. I think the caveat does come when obviously people who don't have supportive friends and family, but also if you are dealing with anxiety and stuff as well, having that like influx of other people and other things and pressure and stuff can be really difficult. So it's about finding balance, and for me that actually looks more like texting people or calling people rather than actually going out and socializing. But even so, that's so helpful when you're in a like a low place, is to just have people supportive and around you. But even if it's not like physically around you, just like reaching out, telling someone how you're feeling, having a conversation with someone, like talk to someone who makes you laugh, like, you know what I mean? Use the people around you, and don't forget that they probably really do want to help you. And try and, yeah, like, my advice to you is have a conversation with someone that isn't anything to do with mental health, anything to do with eating disorder, anything to do with how bad you're feeling. Talk about them, talk to them, and see what's going on in their life, you know? I always like that. I like talking to my friends who, and finding out what they're doing, because it's so different from what I'm doing. And if I'm not doing very well, then it's really like nice to hear about other people and stuff that they're doing that's going well. I don't know. Go and text a friend or something. Okay, my next tip is to address genuine problems in your life, or remove like actual stressful things. Like, this is so overlooked sometimes. I feel like, again, like therapists and people can often, yeah, like overlook the glaring issues. Like, it's kind of like the physical health thing. Like, people can sit there all day and try and uncover the root of all your issues, but if you're there not eating enough fats, not getting any sleep, and underweight, then you again can't really be too surprised, and you can't put too much stock in how you're feeling emotionally, because your emotional health is deteriorating with your physical health. So it's kind of like, if there is a genuine problem in your life, like a very obvious issue, like you might hate your job, or you might be in a very toxic relationship, or you might be dealing with like past trauma that's coming up in your life in certain ways right now because of, I don't know, like maybe things in your life like triggering it. If there are very obvious immediate things that you can actually solve and fix and put right, no matter how hard it is to do those things, I think it's really important that you do it sooner rather than later, or at least make a plan of how you're going to do it. I think that can really, really just shift your mood and your general mental health. It's like, if there are genuine issues, fix those issues. I know it's easier said than done, but don't overlook it. Like, don't be like, I'm feeling depressed and I'm feeling low in mood because it's just how I am and blah, blah, blah. If you have genuine things that are causing you problems in your life, which, to be fair, an eating disorder is a big cause of issues and big cause of problems, so you might just have to wait that out. Like, if you're in recovery from anorexia, again, you might just want to expect that low mood will come with the ups and downs of recovery and the fact that you are having to deal with anorexia and not having that as a coping mechanism anymore. So I guess it can be tricky, but if you know there are things in your life that are really, really bothering you, then reach out for help, make a plan, make a list of all those things, and come up with some ways of how you're going to help yourself. And if you can't figure it out on your own, that's completely okay. Like, things can be really, really difficult, but reach out for help. Ask someone, say, look, I'm really struggling with this. I hate my job. I don't know what to do. Should I quit? Can you help me? Can you help me make a plan of what I'm going to do? Reach out for help and start fixing the issues in your life. And yeah, I mean, obviously things aren't overnight, but there are some things that are overnight. Like, literally, yeah, like with that example, if you really hate your job, quit your job. Well, in this economy, I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, literally, there are always solutions to problems in life. Some solutions are way more obvious than others, and some solutions you're not going to like, but there are still ways to fix things, and there are always ways to feel better. And I'm a really firm believer in this, which is why I think I've always been, you know, able to manage my mood a little bit, is because I've always been quite optimistic with my mindset and my perspective. And I think optimism is a tip, another tip, be optimistic. I know it's easier said than done, but optimism is sometimes a choice, and you can sometimes choose to view the glass half full. And I always think you should do this. And I know that there are a lot of proclaimed pessimists out there who are like, no, the world is horrible, I'm just being real. But like, you could think that, like, fine, fair enough, you can make evidence for that. Like, yeah, the world can be horrible, I agree, but you know, you've got to live in it. You can either go through life thinking that everything's horrible and out to get you, or you can choose to view things with a silver lining and think, okay, well, I don't care, I'm just going to look at the positives. I know it's a bit of a fine line to cross, because obviously that does turn into just invalidating people's feelings and saying, oh, your depression isn't real, just be positive. Like, I get that, and I'm not really saying that. I'm saying more, if you can choose to look at things positively but you are choosing not to, then assess that and think, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna deliberately choose to see the good in this situation, or learn from the situation rather than hate the situation, or whatever, or change the situation. You know, people are often more capable than they think, and there are often ways around things rather than just having to deal with something you don't like. You know, like, if you are really unhappy with something in your life right now, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve to be unhappy. And I know that it's easy for me to sit here and be like, okay, we'll just change it. But think about it. Think if there are things you can do right now that you can make steps towards changing this thing that's making you unhappy. Because honestly, like, that should come first. And I think you should, I just hope this is a bit of encouragement, a bit of like a booster. Like, if you need that little bit of a push to go and make a change that you know will benefit you, then this is your reminder and your little push to do that. Okay, another tip is spend more time in nature. Again, it's kind of, I feel like I'm being really annoying with all these tips. Like, I've had all these things said to me before at some point, I'm sure, and a lot of them I've probably got annoyed at and been like, you just don't understand. But I feel like for the people who are, you know, wanting tips, I hope a couple of these resonate. Anyway, I'm just gonna keep talking. So the thing about nature is, I don't really know, but I'm pretty sure there was a study, or there is proof of this, I hope, I don't know, I might just be talking rubbish, but I think the color green stimulates something in the brain and like produces happy chemicals or something, I don't know. But being around greenery, nature, just away from a screen, being outside, fresh air, all that kind of stuff, you know, good stuff. Everyone knows this is like a basic thing, but go spend some time outside. And I'm not saying that you should go for a really long walk. I'm not saying, in fact, for a lot of you who are on bed rest, or, you know, you're just not supposed to be really moving much, which is all of you, really, if you're recovering from anorexia, just don't go for a walk. Just go and sit outside in the grass, look at a tree, even just look out your window. You know what I mean? Like, look at green stuff. That's my advice. Next thing is to try and be good at self-compassion. Like, I know this is kind of difficult, especially with an audience of people with eating disorders. That's often not our strong suit. But to be fair, self-compassion and being kind to yourself is actually something you can get good at. Like, I didn't think it was. I thought that's something you were born with. But I definitely wasn't born with it. But I'm actually quite good at it now, to be fair. Like, if I start feeling rubbish about something, or if I've done something wrong or whatever, I'm actually quite good at talking to myself in a nice way and making myself feel better without the whole, like, tirade of, oh, this, that and the other. You know, like, you can learn to be nice to yourself. And it takes a lot of practice. So I made a post on my Instagram, I think, about how to, I think it's called How I Fixed My Body Image. And I think what I'm talking about in that post, by the way, my Instagram is Real Recovery UK. So check it out if you want to see that post. But basically, I kind of go through the step by step of how I fixed my negative self-talk. And I think that was really important. And it goes into other areas, not just body image. So if I mess up, or if I say something stupid, or if I do something embarrassing, I'm really good at just going back to a place now, anyway, at least not in the past, but now I am, of just like, oh, well, you know, be nice to yourself. Like, you know, I treat myself as if I'm my friend rather than as if I'm always hating myself and mad at myself, because I don't hate myself at all anymore. And I think when I remember in the past, especially in early recovery, when my mood was always plummeting, I would get these really severe drops in mood around weight gain and body image. And I think it was a combination of obviously the initial trigger to do with anorexia causing my mood to really drop. But then once my mood had dropped, I would feel really awful about it, and I would be really unkind to myself and think I was wasting time, I was lazy, blah, blah, blah. All this kind of stuff. I would actually make myself feel worse rather than feel better. And there's really no point in that, honestly. If you hate yourself, there's no point. You're hating yourself achieves nothing. Like, if you can learn to be kind to yourself, which I believe that everyone can, then try it, you know, put the practice in, put the hours in. Go check out that post. I wish I remembered what I wrote exactly, because I actually think I worded what I meant better than how I'm saying it now. But I think the post is, I think it's a pink one, right? Look out for it. I think it's called How I Fixed My Body Image. And then I talked about what I did and what I said to myself in order to make the inner voice become a nice one kind of by default now, rather than, because before it was a lot of work to be nice to myself, and now it's kind of comes more naturally. Self-compassion, just being kind to yourself in general, will help your mood, because basically what happens is when you get in a mood slump, and you start feeling really low, you're able to accept it and allow it to be there and not force it away and not make that into who you are, you know? If you're feeling bad, that it's fine, that happens, you know? Sometimes you've just got to do low energy things and give yourself time and use this time for contemplation and doing resting stuff and not forcing yourself to feel okay, because honestly, sometimes that doesn't work. Like, you can do all the things I've suggested. You can go and spend time with your friends. You can listen to music. You can go outside for a bit and write a to-do list, tick it all off, or whatever. But at the end of the day, if you still feel bad after that, it's fine. Like, it's one day, and if that day is a week or whatever, then that's fine. You can be feeling crap for a bit and you can get out of it. It's about the long-term stuff, right? When I'm talking about setting yourself achievements and goals and creating routines and doing these step-by-step things, I mean, it's a long-term thing. When I get a really big hit in my mood, or even a big like spike in my anxiety, I suppose, whenever I'm getting myself out of a bad place or trying to, it can take a couple of weeks, you know, like, and this is for someone without depression. So for you guys who are genuinely struggling with depression and things like that, I can imagine this is even more long-term you've got to be thinking. You know what I mean? Like, just give yourself time and take off the pressure. You don't need to be feeling perfect to be managing, to be coping, to be recovering, to be living an okay life. So it's okay if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling low, if you're just feeling horrible. Obviously, I'm not saying you deserve that and you should just put up with it, but what you shouldn't do is try and force it away and try and be mad at yourself if it doesn't go. You know, you're not doing anything wrong by doing all the things and then sometimes they don't work, or sometimes, you know, you only get like 5% raise in your mood when you wanted to feel completely better. You know, just accept it, accept how it is, and know that feeling bad does go, it's not permanent. And there are things that you can do to take the edge off. And like these are the things I'm talking about now. Like, you don't have to always accept that you're going to feel awful, but you might want to accept that for the next few days you just might be feeling a bit rubbish and you can just do some low energy stuff and not put loads of pressure on yourself to be productive or something. So that's also important. I could probably go on for a lot longer, but I'll just talk about a couple more things that I do on a regular basis, because I feel like I should also mention that for me personally, I deal a lot, like very frequently with, you know, quite big problems and spikes in my anxiety, and I also deal with OCD. So those two things definitely have a very big day-to-day impact on me, which isn't great, I'm not going to lie. I used to be on medication, which made them a bit better. I'm on a different medication now, which helps with other things, but anyway, it's not that interesting. But what I'm trying to say is that I'm sort of skating over the fact that I do deal with anxiety and OCD, but when I have my mood slips and dips and all that kind of stuff, they are usually every month or so, I'd say. I get a kind of big hit and it usually takes me a few days or so to come out of that, which I think is pretty good, to be fair, because obviously recovering from anorexia is a bit of a crazy time, and I think it's very common to have your mood suffer. I think when I was younger, before this, I would have crashes in my mood, but probably every like 2 months or 3 months or something a bit more normal, and I honestly don't know how long it took me to get out of those. But this is outside of genuine like events or something that people would actually have reason to feel really awful about. But, you know, like everyone just goes through general ups and downs, and I think my ups and downs now are a lot more related to anxiety and OCD than they are to my mood. But still, with my mood, I'd say, yeah, like once a month or so, I don't really know why it seems to happen every month, but and it's not to do with my period, but that's actually something I hadn't thought about. But I guess, yeah, your period, if you are recovering from an eating disorder and you have very irregular periods, then again, that's something that will affect your mood. And again, like normal periods affect people's mood, but like if you are already dealing with like messed up hormones and stuff, that's a very good point. I completely forgot to talk about that. Oh well, anyway, I'm just gonna give a few more tips, but these are the things that like help me on my monthly declines in my mood, which, yeah, these are all the things I do. And I've got a list of them because I look at the list when I'm feeling awful, because I'm like, oh, nothing's going to make me feel better. And I think, okay, right, think about what helped you last month and just do those things. Anyway, right, so my next thing, I've only got a couple more. My next thing is to take care of your physical self and your appearance and whatever. Have a bit of a glow up, you know, shower, wash your hair, I don't know, do your skincare. What else would you do? I don't know. Do your makeup if you do that. Do all the things that make you feel physically good and like confident and all that good stuff. And this goes hand in hand with recovery, to be honest, because recovery can just be incredibly demotivating. You can just feel really gross and awful and horrible in yourself. And most of that is anorexia related, because, well, the obvious, you know. But some of it is just because you're in a really terrible place with your mood and you let your self-care slide, and that just has a just perpetuates it, really, because you stop taking care of yourself and then you start feeling worse about that, which causes you to take even worse care of yourself. So my advice to you is have a bit of a freshen up, have a shower, do all the things like the self-care sort of stuff. And I think that once you start feeling better on the outside, it can genuinely pick up your mood on the inside a bit. Again, this is not guaranteed, to be fair. I'd say, like, for me, at least like 50% of the time this works to raise my mood, and the rest of the time it really doesn't do anything. But I feel like, you know, what have you got to lose? You've taken a shower, you know? Like, that's it. Just do a couple of things that make you feel better in your physical appearance. And I think that can sometimes help people's mood. Okay, I'm just going to talk about a couple more things. One of them is journaling and, like, not mindfulness. Oh, I hate mindfulness. I hope other people are with me on that. Mindfulness, especially when people tell you about it, it's so annoying. I'm sorry to all my mindfulness fans out there, but I've just had too many therapists ask me if I've tried mindfulness. Like, what does it even mean? I don't even know what it... Anyway, journaling is, like, my best friend, and I'm going to, like, go on and on about it until I die, you know? Also, I feel like I should mention this. On my Instagram, I have, like, two little highlights now for journaling prompts and exercises. I, like, go through step by step of what to do, and I think... I think one of them is on, I can't remember, one of them's on feeling wrong, and I think it might help any fellow people with OCD out there, or anxiety, and another one is on, I can't even remember now, it might be something to do with anxiety, I don't know, but I'm gonna keep posting them on my Instagram, because I think people are finding them helpful, so yeah, anyway, journaling, just do some journaling, write down how you feel, it's kind of self-explanatory. And I think if your mood is being impacted by other factors, like maybe you are overwhelmed by a bunch of stuff, and then, because I feel like when you're overwhelmed by stuff, or you've got loads of stuff to do, or stuff that's on your mind that's bothering you, it can go two ways. Like, it can just send you into complete panic mode, and that can just spike your anxiety, or you can just be like so overwhelmed by it that you just think, well, what's the point of even trying, and you just give up, and you feel that sense of hopelessness, which can really take a hit on your mood. So I don't know, but I feel like if there's a bunch of stuff that's overwhelming you, which is causing your mood to be really unstable, write all that stuff down and go through each thing and ask yourself, is it in my control? Yes or no. If it's not in your control, you just got to mentally release it. And a good way of doing that is writing down all the things that you're worrying about that are not in your control, and like ripping up the bit of paper or burning it or flushing it down the loo. You know what I mean? Like, release all the stuff that you can't handle and you can't impact and you can't control. And then the other stuff that's left on your list now will be stuff that you can control. And then what you got to do is you got to figure out how to either reframe how you're thinking about it so that you think about it in a way that doesn't upset you. Like, for example, if one of those things on your list that's really affecting your mood is you're upset about weight gain and you feel like you are gaining too much weight and you're looking awful, then what you could do is reframe it and be like, no, I'm choosing to gain weight. I'm getting this back. I'm getting my life back. I don't care how I look, all this kind of stuff. So you could do that. And then the other stuff on your list that isn't a thing that you can reframe, so it might not be a thought, or it might be like a genuine concern, or it might be like, I'm feeling overwhelmed by the fact my room's a mess. Then what you could do is write down on your another list, you've got three lists now, oh, bloody hell, right, on your another list, you've got like now a list of your action plan of what you're going to do. So you would have literally like gone through your brain almost and like sorted it out into different boxes. I do this all the time, but honestly, it helps so much. And I think that can be a thing that you can do, which might help you too. Okay, I'm just going to, like, last two things, and then I'm going to leave this episode here because it's getting really long. Obviously, like, this kind of, it depends on your situation, but if you're struggling with your mood on a really, really regular basis, and it's really affecting you, it's affecting your life, medication is an option, and it can be so helpful and life-changing for people. There are different kinds of medication for different mental illnesses, obviously. The thing about antidepressants is that they often are prescribed to people with anxiety, which, as they often like go hand in hand so often, it can help. So personally, I have been on sertraline in the past, which is an SSRI, which is an antidepressant, but it's also used to treat anxiety and OCD in children. So I don't have experience with any other kind of medication. Well, I do, but not any other kind of SSRI medication or any like antidepressants. I've only had experience with sertraline and ADHD medication, but I know that the sertraline stuff did really help my anxiety, and it also did help my mood. It did help my the stability of my mood and the level at which it would drop when I was experiencing low mood. So I can imagine that that particular drug will help people with depression, but obviously this is something you need to talk about with a professional. So if you do have a therapist, then bring it up with them. If you have a psychiatrist, then they're the ones who will prescribe it to you. And you would obviously have to talk to them about which one is best for you, because there'll be different ones for different people struggling with different things. The thing I would say to people, because I've noticed that, well, I've actually had people say this to me before, and I know that I felt this way, which is really awful, but if you are dealing with anorexia, and you are obviously afraid of weight gain, when I say obviously, I don't mean you should be afraid of weight gain, I'm just saying it's a literal symptom of anorexia, but anyway, don't be afraid to take your medication, because I feel like some people, they'll read one thing somewhere that says weight gain is a side effect of certain medications, which, by the way, it's not for every medication at all, but don't be afraid to take your medication because of that side effect, potential side effect. I just feel like that's like shooting yourself in the face. No, that's not a saying, is it? I don't know. Shooting yourself in the foot? I don't know. Just don't do that, okay? You know, medications, they can't make you gain weight. Like, they can't make you absorb calories out of thin air. You know what I mean? And if you're dealing with anorexia, you literally need to gain weight anyway. I just think that should be mentioned, because I feel like so many people, well, not so many, but a few people have messaged me being like, oh, I'm scared to take my medication because of this side effect. Well, how about you just do it? How about you just try? Because what if it really helps your mental health? And that's actually the most important thing. If you've been prescribed a medication by a professional, take it. You know, what have you got to lose? If you're feeling horrible on a daily basis, and this medication can help with that, do not let your eating disorder take that away from you and continue to ruin your life, okay? Take your medication. It won't do anything to you. It literally won't. It's fine. Just take it. If you are, like, really struggling with depression and you don't know how to seek help, I really recommend making an appointment with your GP, because that's, like, the first port of call. And I would really stress this to people who are seeking help for anything, to be honest, for the first time. Don't exaggerate, obviously, but do not underplay how you're struggling, because the thing about, like, the medical professionals is that obviously they're so understaffed and under-resourced that they will only take the most extreme cases, or, you know what I mean, like, they'll brush aside people who need help, literally just because they don't have the time and money to take care of everyone, which is awful, but, you know, you've got to put yourself first. And if you're struggling, you do not take no for an answer. Like, tell these people how bad it's making you feel, tell them how much you are struggling and how much you need help, and make sure that you get what you need. Advocate for yourself, okay? So yeah, therapy, medication, these are all things that can also help you if you are struggling with your mood. Obviously, it's like a last resort, isn't it? If you've done all the basics and you're still really struggling, then that's completely valid. And you're not weak, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. It's just life, isn't it? Some people have to deal with horrible things, which is unfair. But you do deserve help for it. And I hope you can open up to someone and get the help you need. So yeah, I hope this episode has been interesting. I mean, I don't want it to come off wrong. I'm not sat here saying, like, depression is just cured by doing these basic things. And nor am I saying that, oh, like, I've never dealt with depression because I deal with these things, I'm so amazing. I'm not saying that at all. I'm literally just saying, I just wanted to, like, tell people that I'd never been diagnosed with depression, because I really don't want to, like, give advice on something that I'm not qualified for. That's why I'm keeping this to the topic of feeling low in your mood, because that's something that everyone can give advice on. That's something everyone can deal with. Obviously, I don't want people with depression to not do any of these things. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, I hope people know where I'm coming from, that I'm not trying to, like, offend anyone or invalidate anyone or whatever. But, you know, I do recommend that people go out and they try a few of these things. And I feel like what the stuff I've said in this episode is stuff that you already know. It's stuff that you need to be reminded of, right? So, like, everyone knows you need to get enough sleep, but I feel like so many people don't do it. And I'm just saying, give it a go. What have you got to lose? Like, force yourself to do some basic stuff, because you are worth it, you know? Like, you literally, you need to put the effort in for yourself. Another thing I want to mention, oh my god, I literally need to stop talking, but another thing I do want to mention is something that really helps me. It's like, this sounds really weird, I promise it's not, but like, imagine that you are two people. So imagine that, like, you've got your adult self inside of you and you've got your child self, and your child self is the one struggling with their mood, and your child self is the one who can't get up and clean her room, and who can't brush her teeth, and who can't, like, do anything because they're in this state of feeling awful. And then your adult self, right, what you've got to do is switch to them, and you've got to look at the situation from your adult self and be like, okay, come on, kid, like, get up, we're going to do this together, like, I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to help you. Like, be your own parent, be your own, like, support, and literally, like, hold your own hand through doing the hard stuff. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a good visual. That's literally what I do. Like, if I can't do something, I take a minute, take a breather, and I'm like, okay, right, I'm going to, like, tune into adult me here and let her take over because I just can't handle this. And it kind of works sometimes. I don't know. Interesting stuff. I hope this has been interesting, by the way. If you've got any, like, of your own tips and you think, oh, you know what I do, I'm actually, like, if you have something that you use on a regular basis to help with your mood and, like, help keep your mood stable, especially in eating disorder recovery, then definitely send me a message, or I don't know how you go to my Instagram, send me a message, or I think you can, like, leave a comment on the podcast. I don't know, you can on Spotify, I think, I don't know. But yeah, that being said, I'm gonna, like, shut up now because I've been talking for, like, an hour. But yeah, to the person who asked the question, by the way, I hope this has helped you. I think someone else asked this before months ago, but I never got around to doing it. But to those people who asked about how to keep your mood stable, I do think that a lot of these things, it's about doing the basics on a daily basis. The stuff that's kind of boring, but you know that overall will help. So this is your push to go and do those things. If you are right now dehydrated, not taking your vitamins, not getting any sleep, go and fix all those things. And then you can work on the more psychological stuff, but take care of your basic needs. And to everyone going through recovery right now, just go easy on yourself, okay? It's fine to really not be feeling great, you know, like, life, especially recovery, there are going to be periods of time where you just have to suck it up, know that you're going to feel a bit crap, but just do the hard stuff anyway, and in every way that you can, try and be kind to yourself, make your life a little bit easier by doing basic stuff. So yeah, this is kind of like my philosophy for life. I don't know. Yeah, just tell me what you think about this episode, by the way. It's always nice to get messages. I am really, really behind on my Instagram messages right now. I haven't been on it very much, to be quite honest, for the last month or so, because I've been really struggling with my OCD and anxiety, and, you know, that social media really doesn't help it. But I am getting to them, and I really, really appreciate everyone who listens to this and everyone who supports the Instagram and everything. I'm just very grateful, and I really hope that this has helped you. I hope you are doing okay. And yeah, I mean, you can always feel free to send me a DM, whatever you want to say. I probably will read it, to be fair. I will get round to it. Yeah, feel free. So yeah, I'm going to go now. I hope everyone has had a good week. And yeah. Oh, by the way, if you want to support the podcast, please, rate it, review it, and yeah, oh, share it. Apparently, yeah, shares are more important than downloads. I don't really know. I don't understand how these algorithm stuff works, but share my podcast with someone, and give it a 5-star rating and write a review. All that stuff is free to do, but it really, really helps people, like, more people find the podcast, and hopefully you'll be helped by it. So yeah, I'd be really grateful if you did that. And thank you to everyone who already has. But yeah, okay, right, I'm actually gonna go now. Okay, love you, bye.